Now that we left everyone on the edge of their seat for the last 4.5 minutes to find out what the and from Farmer Greg is, let's get to it. And if you're just joining us, we were talking with Farmer Greg in this Outdoor Living Hour segment, growers and how they take a root stock and they graft it onto a fruit stock.
Yep.
And those root stocks all do well in different soil types.
Mm-hmm.
And the growers are good about making sure they put the right type of growing stock and the root stock together. But the people that buy them, especially when you're looking at national chains, mm-hmm. that don't have things regionalized as they need to be. And Arizona's a perfect example. You would think Arizona's one region. I mean, we've got everything. I was playing with that chillhour.net.
Uh-huh.
So the closest one to ours is to our home is registered out of Congress, Arizona.
Oh, right.
And they're expecting 405 chill hours. The start and end date on this is from November 1st to the end of February.
February, yes.
Well, Flagstaff, what do you think chill hours on Flagstaff? Any idea?
Oh, my gosh. 800?
1,600.
Oh, my gosh. So you can grow all kinds of fun in Flagstaff.
And then Tucson's at just almost 700 for the Tucson area.
Oh, well, there you go.
So a big box store sees Arizona, and you would think, okay, this is one state. It's the desert. Everything applies here. I mean, Flagstaff's 2.5 hours from my house on the freeway.
Right.
Just that short of range. So if they don't have their distribution set up even that regionally within the state based on elevations, it's, you know, you could end up with a tree in a local store that doesn't belong here.
We do. I see it all the time. So the and
that we've all been waiting for.
That we've all been waiting for is that even local nurseries don't have the right root stocks, and they don't have the right chill hours. So you really have to educate yourself to, and again, this doesn't count for citrus. Citrus don't have a chill hour requirement. But the deciduous trees, if you're looking at a deciduous tree, there needs to be two tags on it. Well, if you're looking at a citrus tree, that needs to be two tags on it as well. One for the root stock and one for the fruiting or scion wood, the one that makes the fruit. Do your research, because most nurseries as well are they are a little challenged by that. So just be you know, this is a buyer beware thing. You know, I'll blow my own horn here, toot my own horn. All of the trees that we bring in, we usually bring in about 5,000 trees a year. All of them are climate appropriate and season appropriate. They will work here, and they come with a guarantee. I guarantee my trees. Yeah.
And y'all are open today?
We are until 3 o'clock. We're at 4549. North 7th Street.
That's so this just, is the pop-up nursery, the annual thing.
This is my annual pop-up nursery. We're open about 16 days
Not
a year.
Not Barry's Hardware. This is a different location.
Correct. This is my location at Meadowbrook and 7th Street Highland, just south of Highland on 7th Street. And there's signs up, and you know, we have great fun over there. If you just want to come down and check it out, it's epic. We have 3,000 square feet of yard space, and it's, you know, there's...
It's full.
Yeah, I bet you there's 3,000.
And look for the cars just down the side street. I've never been there where there hasn't been people picking up. Because a lot of them are pre-ordered, too. You said you brought in 5,000. A lot of those are already pre-sold. You take people signing up all year. And I know that's something a nursery, not to say anything bad against them, because mm-hmm. we can plant all year long and be successful in a lot of cases. But...
Well, you make a perfect point here. I'm gonna jump in because I think I know where you're going. My fruit tree program, this is my 20th year doing it. Best time to plant your deciduous trees is in January, and the best time to plant your citrus trees is in March. And those are the only times of the year that I would plant trees. So plan accordingly. Take classes. I offer all kinds of online and in-person classes. I really am committed to you being successful at growing your own fruit.
And again, we're not trying to say anything bad about local nurseries. We'll move on because we have so many more topics to mm-hmm. say here. We're just saying you be sure.
Buyer beware.
Yeah. You go educated so you don't end up getting talked into something that doesn't do what you're wanting it to do.
The point is, in 3 years, you want a desert gold peach that when you bite in, it explodes across the front of your shirt.
And can you get there from a 5-gallon plant in 3 years, or do I have to invest mm-hmm. in a 10 or a 15 or a 24-inch
Well, that's
box?
That's a really good point. What's a 5-gallon, what's a 15-gallon, what's a 24-inch box? Because that's a slippery slope as well. And what I've found over the years is that you really shouldn't be buying trees by gallons. You should be buying them by trunk diameter. What's the diameter of the trunk at the base? And a 5-gallon tree generally is a 1/4 inch to 5/8, maybe almost 3/4 of an inch, probably more like 5/8 of an inch diameter. So, you know, that's, oh my gosh, I don't even know how to compare that, but that's the diameter.
Quarter.
And then, yeah, 15 gallons are like 3/4 of an inch to 1.5 inches in diameter. We've got some trees on the lot today that are 1.25 inches in diameter at the base, which is huge for a 15-gallon tree. Ours are all bare root right now. But then if you're talking citrus, a 24-inch box citrus, it should be 2.5 to 5 inches in diameter on the trunk. That's, you know, like that's at least the size of the fat end of a baseball bat. So again, buyer beware. You know, educate yourself and, you know this.
All right. So now we're still missing one more element. You hit it earlier for apples.
Mm-hmm.
The Golden Dorset and the Anna apple.
So are the only two apples that I would...
We know to look for the rootstocks. We know to look for the right planting size. Inside of the variety and the chillars, inside each variety of all these, I mean, we've got listed here, apples, apricots, peaches, plums, berries, grapes, all things that you've successfully grown here and sell at the pop-up nursery.
Which varieties?
There's endless varieties.
Oh, my God. Here's a story for you. I was in a big box store about 3 years ago, and they had a peach tree for sale, and the tag said peach. That's all. There are literally hundreds, maybe even thousands of different varieties of peaches that you can buy. And there's about 10 varieties that will grow well here. So on the peaches, Desert Gold, Mid Pride, Tropic Snow, May Pride, Eva's Pride, those are some of the varieties. That Florida Prince, those are varieties that will actually do quite well here. And again, they all need to be ripening off the tree by, you know, July 10th. Apricots, two varieties only. And with the apricots, it's more about chill hours. There's the Katie and the Goldkissed apricots. And plums, there's about 6 plums that do well here. Santa Rosa, Methley, Beauty Plums, they're all good for here. And in the berries and grapes categories, again, low chill. And there's a lot of different berries that grow here, including mulberries. There's a couple of different mulberries I'll talk about here in a minute. But again, they need to be off the plant by about July 10th. I say that so much because, you know, you can go in and maybe find a Fuji apple. And a Fuji apple might do really well here. It's low chill on the right rootstock, but it ripens in the fall. So, and then there's some no way plants on my list. And I'll just hit you with them real quick. There's multiple reasons why, but cherries are no-goes.
And real quick, before you get to that list, just for the listening audience, coming up in May, this is called Appointment Radio. The fourth Saturday in May is the 25th. You can tune in on the 25th, and we will be talking about how to preserve the harvest because peaches hit so quick. You've got to be able to to either be prepared to distribute them to neighbors, to food banks, to bring them to your church, your kids' school.
Cut them in half and freeze them.
Cut them in half and freeze them, can them, juice them. So that's coming up in May.
Yeah.
You've got time to plant now.
You won't get fruit this year. It takes about 3 years to get fruit.
But if this is your first year, you can at least hear and start planning for it because there's a lot of different things you can buy. We've traded equipment. I borrowed your dehydrator last time. You borrowed our squeezer, slicer, presser.
Yeah.
I really want to get a juicer. I've seen those.
I want one of those industrial citrus juicers where you put the fruit by the case in the top and it cuts them half and juices them for us. Yeah, I want one of those.
The one I saw goes on top of your stove.
Oh, well, there you go.
It'll give you time, though, to start planning these things. Mm-hmm. You know, how does your family like these fruits and what is the best way to preserve it? What are you using a lot of? And so by the time, if you plant now and 3 years from now, you've got time to invest in all these things because there's so many things in life. It's the infrastructure and the startup that costs so much. Once you have the right tools in place, it gets pretty easy after that. But
exactly.
Man, just getting started can be hard.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. Pay attention to what we're talking about over here. We got all kinds of cool things coming up around all that.
But I just mean like starting out first time in your home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be somebody that's planting in a brand new yard and they've, you know, a young family, maybe don't even have kids yet. You know, I mean, just to work that into your budget with everything else that that life brings us, the startup for all things in life, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Exactly. If you're not from a heirloom wealth family or, you know, independently wealthy.
Well, there you go.
So
let's talk about trees not to grow here.
Not to grow.
Yeah. On these three that I'm about ready to say, if you see them in a nursery, turn away and run. And they are cherries, nectarines, and pears. There are no varieties of any of these that will thrive here. Now, can you experiment with them? If, again, as I said earlier about experimenting, experiment away. Know that it's costly, but they're no-goes.
Okay.
So just walk away from them. Nuts is another one that I kind of shy away from, because how many days a year can you go into a grocery store and get a really good organic nut? Pretty much every day, right? You know, almonds, pecans, you know, so on and so on. How many days a year can you go into a grocery store and get a really good peach? Grow the peaches.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Good strategy on that. And that's probably just, you know, nuts last a long time.
They do.
Pick them off the tree and they go forever. And we've
got
some
good
growers.
I know. Look at me. I'm 57 years old.
So good. And, you know, another point to that is you need a lot of water for nuts. They are not a low water consuming tree. And I don't know the exact number for pistachios, but for pecans, they use an equation 10 gallons per day per years of its life. So a 10-year-old pecan tree, when you water it, you know, you've got to water it 100 gallons a day. If you only water it one day a week, you got to put 700 gallons.
Wow.
That's crazy. They're water
and
hogs.
With the upcoming pending drought, that could be interesting.
Yeah. So that's a great point. Focus on the fruits and not so much the nuts. We've got one more segment here with Farmer Greg at Rosie on the House right after this.